Welcome to City on a Hill Gaming, a tabletop RPG actual play podcast. To find out more, download episodes wherever you get podcasts, or visit us online at cityonahillgaming.com, or by sending us an email at cityonahillgaming@gmail.com. You can also support us on patreon.com/cityonahillgaming. We hope you enjoy our show.
Welcome to Lake Geneva 75, part of City on a Hill Gaming's Lamplighters Guild, and I'll be your referee, Greg. Okay, since we are on mics now, I will give a quick rundown, reminder for you all and for the listeners at home.
We do the intro.
And then, yes. We forgot we had done that.
Here we go. Welcome back to City on a Hill Gaming. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Ryan. Hello. I am not in charge tonight. I now turn the festivities over to our referee for the evening, which is not a phrase I've said before and it troubles me, but that's fine. I believe in him. Greg, this is your problem now. Your responsibility now. You're the one in the black and white striped shirt, literally. So, this is all yours. Welcome to a thing. No, this is going to be very different, but I'm excited about it. This is going to be a little different from what we normally do, but I think it'll be good.
Yes, you all have probably most, unless your first time listening, you have probably heard my voice at some point in time recently.
Hey, Greg.
We are doing something a little bit different. We are going to be using an OSR, an old school revival or old school renaissance game called Iron Falcon. It is based on, well, at least inspired by, I want to say second edition. I'm going to hope Derek nods at me because it's the one that uses Thaco. Was that second or advanced?
Okay, so the history of it is Thaco was there to hit armor class zero is what it stands for. So calling it Thaco was always funny because it's not an O, it's a zero, to hit armor class zero. That originated, a lot of people will talk about how it originated with first edition, maybe later second edition. But you actually see the abbreviation used in the products done for what is called the basic D&D set, which came out in the late 70s, early 80s, which was written and edited by Tom Moldvay. Moldvay Cook is usually what it's called. Zeb Cook did the expert set. Tom Moldvay did the basic set. And if you pick up a copy of the Shady Dragon Inn, which is a bunch of NPCs or non-player characters for the basic rule books, it has a Thaco in it. So Thaco actually originated to make it easier so you weren't always having to use charts. A lot of people don't like it, but it's actually fairly simple. I've been relearning it, which was weird how much you pick up on something you learned when you were 12 or 13. But I've been relearning it because in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be running a lot of old school games at GaryCon. And it's simple. If your Thaco is 20, you just count down it to hit armor class zero. If it's a 20, then to hit an armor class of one is a 19. Armor class two is 18, 17, 16. It's very simple once you figure it out. And of course, you know, it helped kids with their numbers back then, especially when you had to learn negative numbers.
I've always had a problem subtracting small numbers, so that's always counting on the fingers.
Yeah, and I will say one of the things about Dungeons & Dragons and more modern games, you're going to get commentary on stuff like this when you bring it up, Greg. But one of the things is it makes it much more accessible, you know, as I'm married to a teacher who's a resource teacher. My daughter is a special ed teacher. So accessibility to kids and understanding that not everybody learns the same way is very essential. And more modern role-playing games tend to make it much easier for kids. Instead of having to do that, subtracting the small numbers and everything, it's much easier now when you add everything up. And half the OSR now wants to crucify me, and the other half says, yay!
Well, that's actually one of the funny things about this is Iron Falcon was written by Chris Gonerman, who previously was the lead and creator for Basic Fantasy RPG, which is still his baby as well. He actually did Iron Falcon to kind of redo Greyhawk a little bit. So Iron Falcon, Greyhawk. That's the naming convention there.
I got you. Yeah, I love Basic Fantasy. He did a great job with. I didn't know about the Iron Falcon until you told me about it, Greg, but I loved Basic Fantasy because Basic Fantasy pretty much is doing what games like Shadow Dark are doing now. But Shadow Dark just got a much bigger push than Basic Fantasy did. Basic Fantasy was, I think, a lot of people's go-to for a long time.
One of my favorite things with Basic Fantasy and a little bit with Iron Falcon, which you do not see in other game systems, is price point. I'm going to make sure and hopefully try to remind Ryan to put all these links in show notes. He is thumbing up me. Because with Basic Fantasy RPG, every single book and supplement they have is free on the website as a PDF and as an ODT file, so you can even go in and edit it yourself. Or send it to something like, I can't remember. There's a website that will print the books for you. But they also do sell actual physical copies of the books that are sold at cost.
Yeah.
For the Basic Fantasy core book, which is going to be everything you need for a player, everything you need for a GM, tons of monsters, how to build a dungeon, everything like that. I believe in its fourth edition printing right now on Amazon is $6.
Yeah. Last time I bought one, it was like $5.
Yeah. I have three copies of the fourth edition one for when I run games. I can have two extra copies plus my spiral bound copy that was $11.
Nice.
You can pick up the entire set of physical copy Basic Fantasy RPG books for like $30. It is an incredibly easy to enter with price point. But then with Iron Falcon, Basic Fantasy RPG is community based. It has had multiple writers, lots of different artists, people. They've done anthology one shots that are all like contest driven. With nice. Iron Falcon, it is all Chris Gonerman. He's like, I think he's maybe hired an editor at most, and he's hired somebody to help with artwork. But otherwise, everything was written by him. On the website, all the PDFs are still free, but the books are not sold at cost. They're sold for a little bit more than cost. I don't think any of them go for more than $11. So
nice.
Yes, Ryan?
You saying that reminded me of something I need to do. Sorry.
Right.
You said sold at cost, and I'm like, right, I forgot to do that. Also, introduce the other people.
Oh, yeah. I should introduce our other players, because you've been hearing a lot of Derek White, the Geek Preacher, who everywhere you find him, he's the Geek Preacher. This is my first time actually getting to speak with him, and as face-to-face as the internet goes after years of talking online.
Yeah, I haven't experienced.
Well, the next person you should introduce is Emma. I haven't heard Emma's voice yet.
Hello, I am Emma. I am sitting here crocheting. It is not meant as a slight. I just have ADHD and need to keep my hands busy. I am very much listening and loving the history lesson of D&D.
I have a box on my pegboard behind my monitor of fidget things.
Yes, my fidgeting happens to be crochet right now. So,
Indiana Hill Gaming, the unintentionally educational podcast.
We're very happy when Greg is using his silent fidget devices, because I have loads and loads of recordings with just clicks on his channel.
Yep.
At least it's not the water bottle anymore.
The water bottle is extremely loud, yes.
I was gonna say, where's my fidget spinner?
Crochet, unfortunately, is very quiet.
Crochet is quiet.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, I guess since I started talking, I'll introduce myself.
Yeah.
Say hi to the people.
I'm Brian, one of the co-hosts on Geek at Arms, and a board member at the Christian Gamers Guild.
Derek was also board a board members. Member
there. Oh, and Greg is too now. I'd forgotten.
I think everybody does.
Also co-host on the Woolheads podcast, which is commentary on the Wheel of Time television series on Prime.
Hey, mm-hmm. I'm reading that series right now. I have the entire collection on my bookshelf.
Nice.
Nice.
Now, Brian, How long have we known each other online?
I think I joined CGG in 2002, if I remember right. Were you there at that point?
I've been in the CGG since the mid-90s.
I thought so. So yeah,
Yeah,
someone around then.
so over 20 years, and this is the first time we've actually really done something like this together.
I was in one of your Call of Cthulhu Scooby-Doo
That,
games.
yeah, but I don't stream those. I don't
That's
stream
true. This
those.
is our first public
Yeah.
interaction.
Yeah. Wow, man, 20 something years.
That just tells you all at home like how long this type of, I don't really want to call it niche, but it's the best word that popped into my head, has been around, and it's still growing.
Not as niche as it used to be, thankfully.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody who joins it still thinks they're the first ones.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun seeing the emails of new subscribers to the Christian Gamers Guild. Like, oh yay, people joining still, yay.
Yeah.
Usually an uptick after every Gen Con.
That works.
That
So
tracks.
be expecting that soon.
Oh yeah, Gen Con is soon, isn't it? Is Gen Con soon?
Not till August.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Late summer.
I was gonna say, when's
Origins
August?
is first.
Greg, tell the fine people what it is we're doing today.
Yes, we are going to be playing Iron Falcon, as we mentioned, but we are actually going to be playing more specifically Iron Falcon 75, which, unlike your other fantasy RPGs that you normally go to, this does not take place in something akin to a medieval or slightly Renaissance history. This takes place in 1975, or we might select a slightly different year, as I believe we have three de birth decades represented here. I don't actually know how old Emma is.
I'm a 95 baby.
Okay, I actually thought you were younger than that. I thought there was a chance you weren't born until like 2000.
Nah.
So yeah, we have three decades here: the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s.
All the greatest
So.
hits and today's.
All the greatest hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and those
Woohoo!
bands that were able to last all three decades, but are probably dead now. And now I feel really old because Emma, my daughter was born in 99. So yeah,
There you go.
feeling older now. You could do 1976, you know. Does anybody remember the bicentennial?
I was born then,
I
so
have
not really.
seen photos.
I was gonna say 95 is probably around when Brian was graduating high school in 94 or 95.
94. Nice shot.
It's when my sister
06.
graduated, and she was born in 76.
I was
Going
a little
because.
kid, but I remember all of that. Oh man, it was a crazy time.
Okay, Greg, with the dice rolling.
Yeah, you,
We're
well,
here to play
y'all
a
will be
game,
doing the
right?
dice rolling today, not me.
Oh, this is
Okay,
true.
so yes, back to Iron Falcon 75. I don't know how much of this is going to be edited out. That's a Ryan and or
Just an issue.
Justin problem.
Yeah.
Justin issue, yes. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
I know you listened for your highs.
This is true.
I always get random messages from Justin when he hears something really odd, like whenever I was talking about my macaroni and cheese diet. But he didn't listen far enough ahead to find out why.
Justin's a respond immediately kind of person.
Yeah, I'll get random messages from him, and like I won't remember what they're about. Okay, but back to 1970, back to Iron Falcon 75. So, years and years and ages ago, there was fantasy and magic and amazing creatures and monsters, elves, dwarves, kobolds, goblins, barklings, things like that, dragons. As time progressed, that faded away. Civilization continued. And now, in our year of choice, most have forgotten that was ever real. Most of those that do remember it don't remember it as truth, but then there are a few who do. remember it and know it as true. That is where we are now. We have our nice safety template filled out. I don't think I need to go over anything about that on the mics because we've talked about it heavily in all of our other session zeros, the specifics in it. But just for the quick reminder, we're using a four-part version of the safety template. We have a line, a veil, and an ask first. I don't think we have anybody who's... we have one for ask first, but it's also under veil, so I'm not worried. Really, the only ones I care about are not checkmarked, so I'm fine. Oh, I did have one in here, but I don't know where that line went. Or maybe I misread the line. I don't know. I'll add that in and let you all decide what you want to do with that. Because this isn't something that really ever comes up on City on a Hill, but being an OSR system, it might actually happen. So it will be something we discuss today, whether or not it can happen. Yeah. That's a possibility.
Sure.
Brian is used to this, but normally that's for me.
How many of your PCs have died in my games?
I am surprised I haven't died in Call of Cthulhu yet.
Well, there's still time.
No, you're supposed to go mad in Call of Cthulhu. You don't have to die.
I have a shot one of our other PCs.
I didn't shoot him. You did.
Yeah, I did that.
Yes, also for listeners at home, don't forget to check out the Geek at Arms actual play episodes as well, which are currently going through the first season of Tales from the Loop. In like 4 or 5 years, we'll eventually get the Call of Cthulhu that's being recorded right now. Because I think those episodes were recorded like 3 years ago. I'm not even on them yet. But back to our safety tools. So we have a line, which is, this isn't brought up or talked about or anything like that. We have a veil where it can be mentioned, but not described. So like it exists, but there isn't going to be a lot of detail about it. Do you mind if I call you out, Brian?
No, go for it.
Go right ahead.
Oh, Brian or Ryan?
Brian.
Either one. Either of us.
Either one's fine.
Like,
yeah.
Like one of ours is eye injuries, which is Brian's with a B. He is fine with it being veiled. So like a character can be hit in the eye, but not detail about it, which is also
I close my eyes during the entire first cinematic of Baldur's Gate 3.
And you don't let Volo do his thing.
I actually did, but I walked out of the room while it was happening.
And I warned you about that episode of Rings of Power,
because
I'm a good friend. So that's under a veil. It can be mentioned, but not detailed. And then there's ask first, which the only thing we have checkmarked on that is also checkmarked as a veil. So, and then there's also like not for my PC. I usually do that with my PCs for romance things, because I'm going to be honest, I'm horrible at flirting and things like that. And it would just be really awkward if I tried to do it, which would not make for good listening. Because it would just be me kind of sitting there stupid. Oh, that reminds me, I forgot to tell you all a story before we got on the mic. So don't let me forget whenever we get off, because today's the anniversary of a story. So yeah, that's out there. I think everybody has at least peeked through it. I know it's been hit on some because there are more check marks that it started with. I don't know who... See, that's the nice thing about this is I don't know who does what. So it keeps it all very private. It keeps it nice. Nobody has... Like, besides the eye injuries with Brian, I don't know who clicks what. And I think I actually had that clicked for him.
Yes.
Preemptive click.
I'm just really tempted to put ask first on puns, just because I think it would be hilarious for somebody to have to ask permission every time.
Okay.
Puns that's a Cameron.
That's why that's on there. Thing. That's actually why it's on there. It's because of Cameron.
Because Cameron added it.
First and he actually, geek people.
And he actually initially clicked it as a line. We forcibly unclicked it for him because
which you should not do with anything else.
No,
but that does bring up an interesting thing with like lines and veils, especially if you're doing a game with people you don't know so well, and you're discussing the types of things that are in the game. You might find that some factors of the game are things that don't do well for you. So while it might be a line and veil for you, It might also just show that you're not going to be good with that group, and that's perfectly fine. One of our lines that we have, I guess I will talk about some of the specific lines and veils we have, is slavery. No NPCs, nobody will be enslaved in any way, shape, or form. It will not, like, even if it's in the story, it will be cut out. Because with Iron Falcon 75, there is a little bit of a story. It just means it'll be cut out and it just won't be there. It does not exist in the story. There aren't even like references to it. With like a veil, it could have been like a reference to it. With the line, it's not talked about. So if you were doing like a game with people you didn't know and that was a big part of the story, you might not want to be in that game if it is a line for you. Sorry. Doing a little bit of educational with this as well as we have been, which I think Ryan's okay with.
Yes.
Because normally you would get this type of information from other podcasts like Saving the Game, which you all should still listen to, even though nobody in this series is from Saving the Game. But there's no more new episodes to that. So these are good reminders that don't come up there.
What he said.
Because no D&D is better than bad D&D.
This is true.
I have no idea what Ryan's reading, but it's really funny watching him pop his head up every single time I say something good. Which also made him pop his head up and nod. So I
It's a
think that.
professional hazard.
Yeah.
I
So I
listen.
think that.
I listen for moments.
Also clarifying slash question.
Yes.
System wise, are we using the Iron Falcon system? I assume, but I'd
Yes.
like to clarify. Great.
Yes, we are using the Iron Falcon system. We will be playing on Roll 20, and Iron
Fabulous.
Falcon does not actually have character sheets on Roll 20. I actually talked to Chris Gonerman a few times, well, through text with him a few times on the Iron Falcon forums to plan and set up for this one to make sure he was okay with this being a pod being on a podcast, to kind of get some information from him because there aren't Iron Falcon character sheets on Roll 20, but because he did so much extensive playtesting, he actually wrote or had somebody else write for my camera, which a custom character sheet for Iron Falcon 75 specifically. So that's what we will be using. I don't know if you've all noticed, but you have been assigned a character.
Oh, in Roll 20?
They are random names right now. Change them to whatever you want them to
Oh,
be.
I did not notice that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where do I see that out on Roll 20?
If you are on Roll 20 on the right of the screen, there's the little chat bubble at the top, the little paintbrush and palette, and then the little book looking thing.
Yeah.
If you click the book looking thing, it should say characters, and then it
Ah,
sh
there we go.
should possibly only show you one character.
Yep, there we
Okay,
go.
good.
I got it
Good.
now.
It did that right. I was hoping it was set up to only
Nice.
show you yours.
All
Yeah.
right,
Yeah,
cool.
if you go to edit is where you can like put in your character name
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah, yeah.
pictures
Nice.
and
I like it.
tokens and stuff, and then
I'll be honest, I haven't used Roll 20 in a while, and this new update is so much nicer than what I was used to.
yeah,
It's
I'm
been about
happy
a
to get
year.
it.
My home group say the exact opposite.
I am
Well,
happy to
that's
get
because I
we
never used it a whole lot,
dude, that's
so.
fair.
I haven't used it in a while either for something that isn't like Call of Cthulhu. And I've always just used the free, but because I'm using custom character sheets, I'm actually having to pay for pro. So yes, I am investing money into City on a Hill.
Next time, I mean, we already pay for, or no, we pay for
Are you, since you're doing Call
premium,
of
that's right.
Cthulhu, I know we're rambling all over the place here, but
Not unusual for
have you
us.
ever been to Dole's House, Dholes? It has a free character generator on there for Call of Cthulhu. For a long time, the site was supported by fans, and now it's supported directly by Chaosium. And
Okay.
so Chaosium, and you can save your characters on that website. And so yeah, it's really nice. So you can generate, and it gives you all kinds of options to generate the characters. So you don't have to do any of that wonky math if you're, you know, what's your half, what's your, you know, all of that. In Call of Cthulhu, you have different degrees of success. So, you know, if you have a 60% chance of doing something, if you do 30%. What's it called? Great success and something like that. And then
The
you'd go
top one
half.
is extreme. I don't remember
Yeah.
this middle
So,
one.
like if you have a 60% chance of doing something, you roll a 59, you're able to do it. But if you 30% chance of doing it, you half that. So if you get below 30%, oh wow, you did really good. And then if you half that again, you get down to 15%, you're like, whoa, you're amazing. And then all kinds of really good things can happen. So, and
Yes.
which is one of the mechanics I like. I know way too many mechanics for years. I've been trying to say, hey, I'm not a big rules guy. I just like it free and easy. And people are like, yeah, get him talking about mechanics.
Oh yeah, that'll be one of the fun things we talk about today is our different alternate rules.
Nice.
Yeah, it's on the session zero notes is actually a lot of the stuff that we get to decide. Yay.
Yeah.
But we will get there soon. And thank you for that because we were Brian and I were informed by our keeper that we should make backup characters.
Only because I almost killed one of the other players, the player characters. He
You
shouldn't
shot.
have stood directly behind the monster. That's all I'm saying.
I can see where this would be a problem, yes.
Yes, this could potentially cause
That's why
issues.
I went around the building and went through the other door, which he watched me do. That was still a fun fight. Okay. Back to all this now. I got that saved, so I can go back to that later. Okay, we have covered safety template. I have covered background, and I shared with them some of the background and gaming information, but some of that also just includes information for setup of the game that you will, as listeners, will get to later. And if you're longtime listeners, you might even recognize a few things. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Okay. Let us go to our session zero dot notes, and then after that, I know some of you have a few character ideas, and we can start going from there. If you don't have character ideas, that's fine. If you come up with an idea today, you decide you don't like it, and you want something different for session one, that's fine. We'll just rework it into there. There are a few things that we will get to here that somebody has to have. So, first thing first. What year do we want to play in? 1975 is going by the classic rules. Changing the year doesn't affect too much. It affects some of the technology you can come across because this is contemporary for the year it sets place. Technology only exists to what was available at the time. Like if you're playing in 1975 and you have a flashlight, your flashlight is as good as a 1975 flashlight, which is not good.
Unless you use it as a club.
Exactly. Yes.
In which case, it's very good.
Equipment costs, in the book, what it would cost in 1975 dollars. If we're playing in a different year, it's going to be slightly adjusted for whatever it would be that year. And that, and the, I, we're going to be a little bit loosey-goosey with money. Basically, you are all adults. You all have adult jobs or at least access to adult money. If you need something, you can probably just say you can afford it and you can have it.
Are we going to play this historically accurate?
Ish, yeah.
Because 1975 is in the midst of a recession and gas prices are out of this world. You can tell I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. And so that, but you could still afford to own a home if you had a menial job. So we could really get into some really whacked out economics.
And here is an interesting thing to think about with those whacked out economics. In the 70s and 80s, it was actually against federal law to own too much gold. Offhand, I want to say it was only like 5 ounces. If you had more than 5 ounces of gold or something like that, it's less than a pound. You had to turn it over to the Federal Reserve.
Fascinating.
So as you explore the more fantasy realm and gather up treasure as gold, there's not a lot you could do with it when you're not in the fantasy-ish area. Because it's not like you can just walk into a pawn shop and say, I have some gold coins to sell. Because they are not going to touch it.
I
Well, to
guess I'm going
answer
to have
the
to play a rogue because I just thought of a bunch of ways to cheat that system.
Well, that would be the fun thing. If you're playing as the thief class, your lockpick tools aren't going to be like the roguish lockpick tools as you expect. They're going to be more of a modern set.
Oh yeah, I would be a locksmith. Yeah, man. Oh yeah.
It's one of those, if you're playing as a thief, you don't have to think of yourself as a criminal. You can just think of yourself something with it.
Yeah.
I played one game to where I was playing a rogue and my character was not thief-ish at all. My character was more like Sherlock Holmes or Batman.
I played that character too.
Because you're
So
Batman.
I'm Batman. Emma.
don't so pretty much the only class that actually has like a requirement for it is if you're playing the cleric, and then your character's real world job has to be something related to that. A priest, pastor, monk, and this isn't like D&D monk. This is like study in a cave monk, nun, things like that. Denomination doesn't matter. So it doesn't have to be Catholic. A lot of
So
the rules.
Shaolin, gotcha.
Well, you're not going to be doing.
Well, Pentecostal or nothing.
I could play just according to type, just a good old Southern Pentecostal preacher,
That's
brothers and
right.
sisters. We're just glad to have y'all here today at service.
So you're just
Sister
playing
Joan,
yourself.
don't be shouting too loud. Can you hear me now, Sister Joan? Come on, Sister Joan,
So you're
get
just
there in the
playing yourself
back.
30 years ago.
What's that?
You're just playing yourself 30 years ago.
Yeah, but not as badly as I did 30 years ago. Let's hope I've grown with time.
Well, to answer the question on the table, I'm okay with the mid-70s.
It's fine. Yes. I think what I need exists then.
Okay.
What I need does in fact exist then. Yes, we're good.
Oh yeah, whatever we were playing Call of Cthulhu that said in the 1930s, we're having to like Google and find out what things are called in the 1930s and whether or not we would realistically have them, which means FBI is very interested in my looking up 1930s explosive ornaments and machine
Oh
guns.
no.
Oh, you're on all the lists just for having been acquainted with me and my visual effects research.
Your FBI agent is fascinated by all of your search history.
Welcome to being a tabletop RPG player and a writer. You get
Yep.
all the weird Google searches.
You get all of them.
Okay, next thing, let's build out our town. According by book, it is called Lakeside. We don't have to have it called Lakeside. You can guys call it, you can call it whatever you want. The only two things the city has to have is it has to be next to a lake because there is a lighthouse. So it's going to be a big lake, big lake, and it has a game store. Everything else after that
So
is
are we in Lake Geneva?
it can be.
We could be.
If you wanted to be Lake Geneva, we can.
I could see a lighthouse in Lake Geneva. I mean, there is a game store there. I know Lake Geneva pretty well. And so there's a game store in Lake Geneva. Oh my goodness, if we're in Lake Geneva in the 70s, that 1975 was when they came out with D&D. Exactly.
Hey,
I think you're
So,
starting to find out what Chris was doing with this.
yeah. So
Is
if we're
fair.
playing, if we play in Lake Geneva, 1975, Dungeons and that would be so meta, Greg. This would we're playing D&D in the home of D&D on the 50th anniversary of D&D, but we meet, we get to see the game shop in Lake Geneva in 1975, as it's just now being built or put together or whatever.
This game shop is called Frank's.
Franks, I love it.
Yeah, those are the only things the city has to have. And generic things like a police force, education, fire, things like that. But like these are places you are guaranteed to go. And depending upon how long we go, because there is a good starting adventure that we will go with, and then after that, we can go anywhere with it. You will spend time doing stuff in townie.
Curious.
So, any ideas of what city we want, folks?
I mean, I don't know the Lake Geneva area very well, but I'm down.
Yeah.
I think we have an accord.
You've got to be able to justify a lighthouse on this thing somewhere.
Yeah. No, Lake, you could say there's a lighthouse out in Lake Geneva. I mean, we're fictionalizing it, but Lake Geneva is pretty big. And, maybe some mob boss from Chicago came up there and put you on a lighthouse.
Also, they have something called Bigfoot Beach State Park.
I am trying to find a 1905, 1975 map of Lake Geneva. I found one for
It's not much different, my friend.
it's like Delvon.
You look at a current Google map of Lake Geneva, from what I understand. But if you need one, I could probably get you one from a couple of books I have.
That would be nice, just so we have an idea what it looks like and can figure out where things would be at.
No, I could do that. I think it was. I know who did the map. Oh my God, I know way too much trivia. But Steve Sullivan did a map on in one of the History of D&D books that came out. And Steve Sullivan worked for TSR in the 80s and late 70s and 80s. And a history of D and he did a map of Lake Geneva using the old school module format from the 1980s. So,
We're not going to use it, but I found a list of names of people who went to high school in Lake Geneva in 1975, and those would make great character names.
One of them's name is probably Ernie Gygax or Heidi Gygax.
So they have to have registered with the web with the school's website, but
Oh.
that is interesting that those are options. All right,
That's crazy.
Greg, do the
Oh, yeah.
same.
So, since there is some background related questions coming up, that should remind me of something. In older games like this, there are much fewer idea like races and classes. I believe with Iron Falcon there's five core races, I want to say offhand. I could look at sitting right next to me, but that's less important because that's not coming up yet, and there's four classes: Major magic user, cleric, thief, fighter. That's it. And there's alternate rules to have your fighter be a paladin. I guess I should have mentioned that to
Fighter.
Ride before. Yeah, I was like, I should
I
have
don't
mentioned
think
that
it
to.
makes sense for the character. It's fine.
That's.
We'll just go
Yeah,
fighter.
we might not even have it. We're going to get to that question soon in the Chester notes. Okay, because that's actually where we're going to start. Okay. So, for those of you that also haven't played OSR games and old school games, healing is very different. When you do a long rest at night, so you have your full 8 hours of rest, you regain one hit point.
Woof. Okay.
But we do have alternate rules for that.
So I favor the accelerated rest on a full day or
So,
accelerated healing on a full day rest, but not fully healed.
like if you're doing a full night and a full day, you get 2 points instead of just one. So, like you rest for night, you rest for day, you get two, you rest for the next night, you get a third, and so on.
I think Brian's wanting something a little faster. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
No, that was exactly the one
Oh,
I
okay.
Yeah.
favored.
I
Oh,
have,
okay.
other than
Yeah, I
the
have.
simply one per day is too slow, but I don't like, I go to sleep and I wake up fully
Oh,
healed.
I see. So one the first day, two the second. Oh, I like that. I like
Which I
that.
think this kind of works because a lot of your, like, if you're going to have a full day of rest, you're going to be back in Lake Geneva. You're going to be chilling at home. So you would have, you would heal up more. Plus, you can
We
see
had
moderate.
Neosporin in the 70s. We had
Exactly.
Neosporin in
Exactly.
the 70s.
So by doing that, I think it works better.
It was too
Everybody.
expensive, so my mom burnt me with iodine.
Whew. Everybody okay with that one then?
Put a little salt in that wound, boy. It'll get better.
Rub some dirt on it.
Well, you put the salt in the wound because of the iodine in the salt. Iodine salt.
Okay. With Iron Falcon 75, if you are playing the thief rogue-esque character, you will also see this for the cleric. Your special abilities, so your thief abilities or your turn undead, no, turn undead is 20, that's right. But your thief abilities are actually based upon a percentile roll. Yes, you get to use percentile dice. How many characters get to do that in modern D&D?
Not a lot.
So,
unless they roll it on the wild magic charts in 5e.
That is actually the only one I can think of that uses it. It's wild magic. But because you are a more real world using modern-ish like lockpicking tools, we can do it so it has a modified chart that at lower levels, you're more likely to be able to do it, but it's going to scale a lot slower. So you're not going to go up as gradually. You're going to go up and then you're going to slow down while you're going up with your scores.
Makes sense.
But, or we can just keep it normal, which is a bit more simplistic.
I think whoever is wanting to play the thief.
Yeah, I actually only know like call. What Derek and Ryan are thinking. I don't know what Emma or Brian is thinking.
Well, to answer that question, I am attracted to the cleric.
I was thinking that too. I thought it would be funny to play a nun cleric.
See, I was going to go with one of the Jesus people.
I love it. I love it.
Like the Jesus is a friend of... No, that was in the 90s. Never mind.
This is the Jesus movement.
Okay. Yeah, this is more... Think Crosby, Stills, and Nash on Jesus. High on Jesus.
Oh.
Hippie Jesus movement.
Godspell.
Oh, okay.
Jesus People USA. Hey, Brian, watch that Jesus People USA. You go.
I've been thinking
toss...
I need to, yeah.
Yeah, that's some religious trauma there, brother.
Oh, I'm sure.
Woo!
But I'm also open to the wizard. Since it sounds like Ryan is wanting to pull the fighter.
Yes, I am here for the punchies.
Oh, we need... I mean, you guys decide. I'll jump in. But yeah, I put on the clerical collar, but I could easily take it off. And, you know, I'll show you what's underneath the clerical collar here. This is what I'm wearing. My Miskatonic University shirt, so...
Yeah, I will fully go behind the scenes here and say whenever I showed Ryan the cover for Iron Falcon 75, listeners at home, look up the cover for Iron Falcon 75.
It's an impressive art.
It is. It's great, man. I'd get that ink on me in a day, man.
But yeah.
That's some heavy duty art, man.
Ryan saw the Derby Girl and was just instantly attracted to playing a Derby Girl fighter.
It's probably what's happening. I've already changed the character sheet name in Roll20.
Oh, good. I haven't looked at that in a while. I'm looking at Roll20 right now, but I haven't looked. Oh, that is perfect.
So, I had to workshop it a little bit, but we got there. We got there eventually.
Emma, do you want to claim the cleric?
Sure. Okay. I'll claim it.
Then I will be the whiz.
So Derek shall be our thief. Which way would you like to do this? Then Derek, would you like the easier, lower, and scale slower, or just base? Which is
I'm warning to. We're starting off at first level, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm trying to find the thief scaling rules from back then.
You are going to start out as level one humans with your base class, and that's it.
Okay, so let's say
folks that require weapons, you don't even have them.
You know what? I'll play a locksmith, and since I'm going to play a locksmith, let's start off a little higher and then scale slower.
Okay.
So I'll use locksmith as a background.
Okay, and I have this written as two fighting. I have to look up the details on it because I forget what they actually are. Like it was a long thing, and I didn't feel like typing it all out.
But yeah, locksmith. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out how these work with like your background. Because while I look this up, I will explain something else that I forgot to the listeners at home. All of our player characters are childhood friends. They're all going to be roughly the same age within 1 or 2 years of each other, who are childhood friends who at some point in time kind of drifted apart. Either just through high school or through life, just are no longer as close as they used to be. While I look up my file that I have saved, that will tell me a page number for what I'm looking for, double or triple damage on 10 or 20 higher than what you're supposed to hit. So, like, if you're supposed to hit at 10 and you're 10 higher than that, you do double damage. If you're 20 higher than that, it's triple damage. So not so much like crit damage, not based upon like the actual dice roll, but
it's like a threshold.
Yeah.
I like that rule. It tends to make things more dramatic.
And we've been having that in Kingmaker.
Yeah, Pathfinder 2E has a similar series of rules for that kind of scaling.
Mm-hmm.
Which has taken a little bit of getting used to, but
mm-hmm.
It's all good. Oh, I remember what two fighting is now. It is
two weapon?
It is two weapon fighting, and what it is when you swing your weapons, it lowers your chance to hit, but you're getting, so like if you have a weapon in each hand, you can swing both attacks separately. It lowers your overall chance to hit on each one, like -5 on your main hand, -10 on your offhand, but you're still getting two chances to hit instead of one. So it's not just straight even rolls, it is lower of a chance.
Okay, I figured out how you can scale it real easy on the thief rules. I've got some ideas on the background, you can scale it the same. Just switch pickpocket and open locks. Because at first level, you start off better able to pick pockets and move silently. Whereas in the modern world, I would say it would be reversed. You know, you're probably going to want to pick locks more. And so, you can just scale it the same and just switch those two charts.
Okay, that works.
Boom.
Yep, that works perfect for me.
King of the homebrew! But I can climb like a madman.
So what do you all think of the two weapon fighting, though?
It's not likely to affect me, so I will defer.
Yeah, it's more of a fighter and thief thing.
Run it again, Greg.
So you can wield two weapons. You have a weapon in your main hand and a weapon in your offhand.
Okay.
And it lowers your overall chance to hit with both weapons. Your main hand is slightly lower.
With
your
both. Offhand
is much lower, but you still get two chances to hit.
I mean, I don't care if you have it. I probably won't use it.
Okay.
Yeah, I doubt I would use it either.
I'm leaning towards two-handed to begin with.
That's fine. We got that one. Yay, only like a page more to go of these. But they're like quadruple spaced, so I could put notes on there. Next one is unarmored combat. This is a very interesting one that I have never seen in a game system before, so I am intrigued by it. If you are unarmored, your attack bonus is also added towards your AC. So you get a little bit of an AC bonus.
For not using a weapon.
Well.
Not wearing
armor. Not
wearing armor. Oh, so it's like Monk. It's similar to Monk.
Kind of, yeah.
Like fight, like D&D Monk, where it's, you get the wisdom since you're not wearing armor.
Yeah. So it's kind of similar to that, but you get your attack bonus instead of like adding another skill to it. Instead of adding another attribute to it, you just get your attack bonus, which is level based.
Who would that apply? I mean, that's not going to apply probably for mine magic or user. Brian's. Mage. Oh, it's magic user? Okay.
Mage, mostly. Maybe.
I mean, I like it.
Maybe a little bit cleric, but.
And kind of pretty much all of you to start.
Well, that's also true. Yeah. I mean, for that sake, for the sake of us just not all poofing out of existence in session one. When we get there next time.
The ability to parry, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's also a brawling rule, which may also be beneficial for everybody, as this is, as most of you will not start with the ability to do, like, weapon damage, as you will not start with a weapon, depending upon where you go and what you try to do. The damage is based upon the type of armor the opponent is wearing. Like, if they're wearing plate mail and you punch them, it's not going to do a lot.
Sure.
But if they're not wearing any armor at all, it's going to hurt a lot more.
Sure. I mean, that seems logical. And hopefully nothing we face early on is wearing plate mail. Optimistically.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. This next one is going to be more what y'all are used to. Your strength is added to your attack and damage rolls.
But it's
currently
not.
The weights... Currently, the way it is you have an attack bonus, which is based upon your class and level.
Oh, okay. So this
And
would
it
be
is flat.
instead or on top?
On top of. So, like, if
Okay.
it's a plus two and you have a plus two to your strength, it's actually a plus four.
Is it reasonable that we will hit
Oh,
without
so
this?
we're using attack bonuses instead of the chart, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This
Okay.
would use, this would go the th this yeah, so this would be using the attack bonuses off the chart. This would use that plus your strength modifier.
Well, on the chart, you didn't get it. In old school D&D, on the chart, you didn't get an attack bonus. You just had a target number.
Yeah.
So, for example, at first level, everybody, including fighters, thieves, magic users, everybody at first level, to hit an armor class of 9 was a 10. So you need to roll a 10 or better. And then you added your strength bonus if you were using a melee attack to that roll, and you used your dex bonus if you were using a ranged attack.
This uses that same type of chart. Well, not the to hit, but it has it doesn't use that. So it's basically like, let's say your strength is a 13 to 15, you have a
Okay.
plus one.
Okay.
This
Yeah.
would then use the attribute that would add your actual attribute ability to that, which I think for 13 to 15.
Yeah, that sounds like Shadow Dark does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember offhand what the bonus is.
Oh, I see what you guys. Okay. I was trying to
Yeah.
find the chart that was being referenced.
Yeah, you see that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the character creation stuff.
And now you understand, Emma, why we were talking about Thaco to hit armor class 0. When you look at that chart, you'll see the 0 at the end of the chart.
Yeah, the chart's didn't copy and paste over, but on the website, all the books are free, so you can also just
Yeah,
go in there and take
I'm
a look.
also on, I also have the website open.
Yeah, I've got my PDF up now. I've got my PDF
Yeah, I
up
didn't
here.
know if y'all were gonna look at like the actual full books or anything. So I'm like, I want to give you just the information you for sure need, and if you want to check out more, you can.
Oh wow, they do not scale for missile attack bonuses. That's crazy. So if you've got an 18 in dexterity, you get a nice adjustment to your armor class, but you do not get a really good attack bonus. Oof, on your missile attacks.
For the one player that's going to be using the most missile attacks.
Yeah. Plus one. Wow.
Yeah, that's the best you get at an 18, and you're not going to have any scores above an 18.
Oh no. And even if you did back then, it didn't mean anything.
Yeah. Well, there is exceptional strength alternate rules, but it's really complicated and I didn't want to deal with it, so I didn't even add it to the list.
Don't blame you.
I also
Oh,
did not
scaling
add
rules, always bad.
Intelligent weapons to the list because I didn't want to deal with it. Oh
No.
yeah, you could find intelligent swords that could like have their own alignment, and they talk to you psychically depending upon how smart they are. I don't want to deal with that. I'm not even putting it on the list.
No, don't put it on the list.
So back to the main thing, do we want to add strength to the attack and damage?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
And combined with that, do we want to add dex to the AC? So it's
Most
gonna
definitely.
I was gonna say, I like
Yes.
safer. This
Says
sounds safer. I like safer.
the thief.
Says the thief.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Let's add dex to AC. Yeah.
Okay. Do if we in because okay. I am going to skip the paladin in question because I know our only current fighter is not going to go the paladin route, so that's a moot question at this point. So as th this is going to be a question which is going to be a first for City on a Hill.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but we don't really talk about it
It's
very
never come
often.
up. It's
No, it
never
hasn't.
come up. This is something that comes up quite often
It would
on
require
Geek
I
at
ever hit.
Arms.
It would require I ever did damage, Greg.
I know. It comes up often on Geek at Arms. I was the first victim to it. And I've been
And the
the
second.
main.
No, you were the second victim. The
He
first
was an
victim, the
NPC
third
by that.
victim.
He was an NPC by that point.
That's true.
I was the first player victim. He was an NPC when he died. I was the first player character that was actually a player character when they died. And that was like my third session.
Oh, heavens.
MERP's critical charts.
So I'm assuming this question is character death, correct?
Yes, because it's not something that's been that had to have been approached. So this is predominantly, first of all, a Ryan question and then a group question, because, again, it has not been broached before.
I'll let it be a group question for that purpose.
Okay.
Well, you know,
first of all, do we even want to have player character death? Since it's not something that's ever come up on City on the Hill before, obviously I'm personally okay with it, as it's going to be nice playing in a game where I know my character won't die.
Yeah. All I was going to say is, you know, I'm in the season of Lent. In my tradition, we follow Lent. And Lent is a season of mortality, of death. I just think that in the modern world, there's so many ways you can do it. Character death would be kind of a cool thing, in the sense that if it does occur, which I don't want it to, because I'm already attached to this background I got brewing in the back of my head. You could deal, you know, this is City on a Hill, and you could deal with themes of grief and how we handle that, if that's what you wanted, if that's a direction people think would be good to go in, if that happens.
As long as content-wise it's dealt with in a not un-City on a Hill-like method, then I'm okay with it.
So, I heard an interview with Chris Gonerman, again, the author of this, and he was talking about during playtesting, because this is much more contemporarily set, and a lot of his playtesters were alive and playing games in the 70s, that like character and even NPC death hit them harder, mm-hmm. because they were able to connect with it more. Like, I joke about where in most games I'm in, besides City on the Hill games, I'm usually the first to die. Like, it's a shock if I make it through to the end and others don't. I think it was the Aliens game where, like, I died right near the end.
Oh, we all died right at the end on that one. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I did not make it to the end of that one, but I also wasn't the first to die. I also died in one of the games and came back, so...
The only person who survived took off in a spaceship with a facehugger on it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is everyone got unalived eventually, even if it's in the prologue?
Yes.
It's Aliens. Yes.
I love it.
We play a lot of different games on Geek at Arms.
Yeah, Brian's told me about it for years. He has, and I just love what you guys do.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you need to get on for Roll for Shoes at some point.
Oh, the shoes.
you know that I'm in favor of PC death. I like the dead at minus con.
Yeah,
That was going to be the next question of dead when. Traditionally, it's dead at zero, but there's also dead at negative 10 and dead at negative con. So if like your con is a 13 and you go to negative 13, you're dead.
So not modifier, flat con.
Con bonus. Yeah. Yeah. You're flat con.
So yeah, if it's 13, it's negative 13. Emma, good with all this?
Yep.
Getting you talking more. Not forgetting. Not Hi. Trying.
Hello.
Yeah. See, and that's Sounds really good. Cool. I mean, you can do fun things in a game when you do it dead at negative con. You can like, oh, we got to get, Jack to the emergency room right mm-hmm. now, you know,
right?
Yeah,
and oh, you know, being in Lake Geneva, the good part is, you know, whatever hospitals were there in the 70s, you might have to go off to Chicago to get some major surgery and all of that stuff.
Yeah, you get like stabilized and then you're just gone for 2 months,
airlifted out.
Let me see. Did they start using actual EMS vans in the 70s, or was it still hearses?
It depend. I think that depended on the part of the country you were in.
So probably a smaller town like Jake by like Jake Lake Geneva. It was probably the town the mortician's hearse would pick you up and drive you to the hospital.
Don't know. I'd have to look that up. I don't know, but it's a possibility. But maybe not, because Lake Geneva is a pretty wealthy town.
Okay, so
And
now we're doing character info.
actually, we have one that we have to back up one question. Since there is character death and you all may die, and somebody may come back as a different class and somebody may come back as a fighter, do we want to have the paladin subclass for fighters?
Don't think it hurts anything.
Yeah, it's just extra abilities.
Greg, do you want us to have a paladin?
If we had Peter, yes.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have
Peter
a
doesn't get
choice.
options. Peter would have be the paladin. Yes. Thanks for listening to City on a Hill Gaming. If you'd like to know more, find us online at cityonahillgaming.com or by sending us an email at cityonahillgaming@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at cityonahillgame or find us online at patreon.com/cityonahillgaming. Thanks as always to our Patreon backers, Grizzly Rich, Brian, Sir Lord Epic Name, Andrew, Christina, and Tony. We really thank you guys for everything you do to support the show, and we truly appreciate you. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day.